Today is the day after New Year's. You also, may be hungover at work.
Also known as January 2nd, 2019.
You may be hungover at work.
Well, no. Well, you would have had yesterday to recover.
Oh, no.
From the debauchery.
Oh, that's right. New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
So this will be Wednesday. I said Tuesday, didn't I?
So, well, maybe you just keep drinking on your day off, you know.
Well, that's just, hair of the dog, right?
Yeah, you just got to have a little more.
Just take the whole week off.
Some people are doing that.
So, yeah, some people I know are doing that.
Don't forget to write the new number on your checks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dang it.
When you're buying stuff from the level one store.
With your checkbook.
We don't take checks, do we?
No. Oh, also, before we get started, this is a 3D printed vase. I have put some water in the bottom of it. We will see if it holds throughout the episode of the news.
I think it's good.
Yeah, thus far it's
not. I mean,
it's
not going to break. It's not water soluble.
Well, we don't know that yet.
It is a little bit.
It's an experiment. We'll
it's a
see.
Little bit water soluble.
Level one experiment.
Well, speaking of poorly designed things breaking down, how about CenturyLink?
CenturyLink has got some problems. CenturyLink had a major outage here in the U.S. 911 went down, as well as network connectivity. It affected Idaho and somewhere
Washington.
Else. Utah? No, I don't know what that says.
Washington. I saw a lot of people posting tweets and stuff from Washington being like, 911's down.
So the FCC is looking into that. Cable companies, it's not just CenturyLink. I mean, CenturyLink, Time Warner, et cetera, they don't really understand separation of concerns on their network. There are AT&T is guilty of this as well. There have been times when there have been AT&T outages where, like, the one DHCP server that provides DHCP for, like, all of the DSL modems on the Eastern Seaboard was overwhelmed and went down, and that caused a service outage. These networks are incredibly fragile. They're not built like the networks of the 60s to, you know, reroute around. Like, when they were building the public switch telephone network, it was like, okay, if a nuclear weapon takes out New York, can people in Georgia still make calls to San Diego? And they don't build it like that anymore.
ATMs, 911, credit card transactions, you can imagine basically everything stopped working when this was out. They have a picture. They were using the old embossed slide method for taking credit cards so that they could just sell things. So, which is bad because that was the early days of credit card theft where they would just go and steal the garbage can. And all the copies were in the garbage can.
Speaking of things that should be in the garbage can, let's talk about iTunes.
Are we talking about iTunes or Netflix?
No, I'd say iTunes. iTunes is garbage.
iTunes is garbage.
Netflix permanently pulls iTunes billing for new users. So if you sign up for Netflix on iTunes, the billing for that used to be able to run through iTunes. Of course, that means Apple's going to take a 15% cut. But now you can't do that as a new user. And it's maybe convenient for iTunes users, I guess, but that 15% VIG from Apple is just not tolerable Netflix's point of view.
I was wondering, I was like, why would Netflix want to like possibly like give people a reason to unsubscribe? But no, I think that makes sense. And also, who likes iTunes enough that they would like be like that upset to not use Netflix anymore?
But you also, if you go through the Apple Store, you're also, they're getting hit with a charge there.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are, you know, of course, Fortnite is famously one who just said, we're not playing ball with these app stores.
Yeah.
We're doing our own thing. And I think Netflix is trying to move toward that.
They did that with Google Play as well. And so far that end run around Google Play has worked out for them.
Well, not everybody has Fortnite power. Although Apple kind of does, I guess. Well, you know who does have a lot of power, but maybe behaves as if he has more than he really does, is Mr. Elon Musk.
Look how happy he looks there with his flamethrower.
The Wall Street Journal has the first of what I'm sure is many updates from Level 1 about when, you remember the cave rescue?
The feel-good story of 2018? Well, yes, I do.
Of course, everybody remembers
Elon
that.
Musk built a sub for that they didn't use, and he was mad about that.
Because the sub wouldn't work.
So he called one of the cave rescuer people a pedo for wanting to help rescue the children.
Because he was an expert on the particular cave system in Thailand.
And so this New York Times article is about the ongoing lawsuit from that. And he's like, no, it's protected speech. I can totally call that guy that.
Well, he's not even saying it. So they released
the
legal document. And they made some interesting points.
Not good points, but interesting.
One of which was basically everything that Musk says on Twitter should be considered hyperbole. because Twitter is a platform that no one should take seriously. That's literally one of their arguments. Another thing is the other guy insulted him first, so it shouldn't matter what Musk said because this is kindergarten, right? And then another point that they made was that Musk really doesn't know this guy, so a reasonable reader would have to presume that Musk has no idea about his sexuality.
Nice.
What was one of the other arguments was as well, like, the guy's lawyer said that he was actually, like, having sex with children. He's like, Elon Musk never said that. And I was like, say child bride?
No, it was... So the lawyer...
I can't remember the exact...
The quote from the lawyer was that this man never... It was something about Thai boys. And so part of this legal thing was Mr. Musk never mentioned the nationality of the children that he was molesting.
It's like, dude, how paper thin is your argument right now?
Wow.
But those Thai lady boys are good at trickery. So,
she's hot, she's not.
Well, the other, you talk about Elon Musk and then you got to talk about his superior, right? The man he wishes he was. The most successful of all, the super
Lex
criminals.
Luthor. I mean, Jeff Bezos.
And this is not about Lex Luthor himself, but more about what he's accomplishing.
Amazon's R&D spending is poised to top the GDP of Iceland. Jeff Bezos should rename himself to at least be Jeff Jesus or something. Because it's the Stan Lee alliteration thing, Lex Luthor.
Well, listen, I'm going to hold off all judgment until I see the Amazon Lord of the Rings television show, and then we'll decide.
That's a good point.
We'll decide after
that. That is how we should judge all of our public figures.
Is how good their TV adaptations are.
But yeah, now Krista doesn't. She's not impressed by Iceland's GDP.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what do they export? Bjork and sheep? Iceland's actually a beautiful country.
I bet they've got some dairy products.
Yeah, well, they have what's it called? Higgis?
Volcanic
fish, the fermented fish.
No, there's a type of yogurt that's actually getting really popular here, and I've tried it. It's okay. It's not as good as Lala.
Not as good as Amazon yogurt?
No, it's not as good as Lala. I haven't drank that in a long time, but there's something else. I can't remember the name of it. It's going to bother me.
I'm sure our Icelandic viewers will correct
me. Someone will tell me.
Speaking of adaptations for changing political climates.
Well, we talked about India in the last episode. They're cracking down on the big businesses. And they're saying, listen, you want to do business in India? You're going to make products in India. We want to sell Indian-made stuff.
We're going to make India great again.
And Apple said, bro, that's the problem for us.
Apple, The Verge headline is, Apple will reportedly start assembling its premium iPhone models in India. This is a direct result of what we reported on in the previous episode about the governmental news, because it doesn't get around, it's not an end run around the rules in India, but this will comply with the rules, so because Apple is going to employ an Indian workforce to do the assembly and that sort of thing.
And that's, I mean... It's such a populous country. I'm sure it's going to be fairly cheap labor, right?
Probably. So they'll probably move into a really rural area or something.
And so much population, and it's a country that's sort of moving into that middle class area. It makes sense to invest there. It makes sense to have some infrastructure because they're going to keep buying stuff. It ain't going to change.
As their economy keeps improving, if it keeps improving at the rate that it is, I mean, Apple will be poised to take over.
Well, speaking of things improving at a dramatic rate, I mean, we're talking about just leaps and bounds over the previous generation.
Overnight upgrades.
Well, maybe not quite.
AT&T's first 5G speed tests look uninspiring. So that is a very low-key way to say that AT&T is lying through its teeth. You know what the 5G update that AT&T did was? They pushed out an update that changed the label from 4G to 5G. It's really just 4G that's fast.
So it's a branding change.
Yes.
But it does have...
I give the branding 0.
It does have a new kind of radio. But it's not entirely new.
Yeah.
And it's... Apparently, who wrote this? Mashable. They're not able to find any reviews. Nobody got a review copy. Now, this is not a phone. This is a hotspot that you can get. They found one person on Reddit who had speed tested this. And it got like 10 megabit more... than his 4G hotspot, which he tested right next to the 5G hotspot.
Yeah.
So
It's not really 5G.
Huge, like, monumental changes.
But AT&T is working to redefine what 5G is so that they don't have to roll out a truly 5G network with truly upgraded radios that's truly next generation.
But who else can say they launched 5G in 2018?
But 5G does not mean what we think it means.
But who else can say it?
Nobody.
Literally no one.
And that's what matters, right? Perception is reality.
I'm going to have to close the window because it's gotten very bright in here.
Oh, yeah. The sun is like...
Oh, just... We do have like this...
An ethereal angelic... glow. Also, update on the glass. Still watertight.
Just chug that right now.
No, I'm not chugging. I don't know what weird things have been in there. To be fair, I've also been like putting my hands in it.
It's like
eating your microplastics. It's a satisfying texture. I don't know if they can tell, but it's got like ridges on it.
Level one can't stay on task anymore in 2019.
Listen, my sleep schedule is messed up.
From the holiday?
Yeah. Been getting up really early some days, and then other days I sleep till like noon. And
well, speaking of stuff that is really messed up, let's talk about that iOS update, the bricked cell phones.
So, you pretty much said it.
That's it.
An iOS update came out, and these were some of the older phones, the 6, right?
It affected 6, 7, and 8.
And in certain situations, you just simply couldn't get data on your phone anymore.
This mostly affected third-party carriers other than Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. But literally, Apple pushed out an update, and if you're on one of those smaller providers, we've got a regional provider around here, can confirm this update absolutely bricked the cellular radio in the phone.
Wendell had some first-hand experience with this recently.
Fixing stuff over the holidays. Oh.
So many comments like, Wendell uses iPhone?
No, I have to help family.
Family does.
Reasons.
I remember that one time, hilariously. So Wendell has a bit of a phone addiction, you know?
I mean, it's right here on the desk in the shot.
He's picked it up several times since we started shooting the news. And one time his phone was destroyed. I can't remember what happened to it. And so he had to get a family member's phone just for like a stopgap method. And it was the pink iPhone.
That was not fun.
But you did it.
Yeah,
you did it, yeah.
You did it.
You weren't too proud to use that pink iPhone.
It's fine.
Well, you know who else is... maybe they are too proud because it's been a year. We talk about a year of failure for Facebook and a year of failure for some of the other companies. Well, Intel can be listed among
Mr.
them.
Mr. Intel.
Yeah. Intel vows better communication with partners about CPU shortage. So there's been a lot of stories that have flown just under the radar. There was the whole thing that was like Intel's firing a bunch of people. And then it was like, no, we're not. And all this kind of stuff. It's very hard to buy the highest end 14 nanometer Intel CPUs right now. I mean, they've had the whole 10 nanometer capacity and production problems, but even that aside, they've definitely had supply issues with 14 nanometer, not just desktop CPUs. I mean, the i7 or the i9, they're kind of high priced in my opinion, but also their server CPUs. I mean, Dell and HP have been really gnashing their teeth to try to get the higher end Xeon processors. And they're also, you know, available for above MSRP in some cases, which is not good.
Well, we put Facebook and Intel in the loser column. We put Amazon in the winner column, but you know who else gets to go there? Is Epic Games.
Fortnite is closing the year with a $3 billion profit in 2018.
I contributed to that.
Yeah, that's not good.
How dare you?
I didn't buy the game, but I did buy an action
figure.
No
one's bought the game, Krista.
For a younger cousin. Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's a free game that generated $3 billion in revenue.
All those dances.
You gotta have the...
2 Milli and Carlton have contributed, even though they didn't want to. So they talk about here how Epic Games was kind of on the ropes, you know, as of maybe 3-4 years ago. They didn't really... And they decided it's like, oh, we're going to reinvent ourselves. What are we going to do? Free-to-play gaming.
We're going to do a PUBG clone, but more goofy.
Now, do I remember correctly that Fortnite was not free when it first launched as like a group zombie game, right?
I don't think it was free. See, that's why I was confused. Maybe it was always free. I don't remember.
I don't think it was, because we would have tried it.
I thought you guys did try it.
We did try it for free.
No, we tried the Battle Royale mode, which came later.
Yeah.
Oh, so that came out after
PUBG. The initial zombie mode was a massive failure.
Because zombies are old news. DayZ had its day in the sun, though it just launched, correct?
They have official release. Yeah. Which is...
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, no one.
It might be the same in name. It's not actually the same.
But yeah, so they're doing their own game store now. And how long? Well, first of all, how long do you think the popularity of Fortnite will go on? You think that's all of 2019?
I don't think it's all of 2019.
I think it makes it maybe to the summer.
I think it's already crested and is receding now. So it's just a question of how far that drop off is.
But how? Then the next question is, how far will 3 billion go moving forward
into the next massively? I think that's going to be more than enough money. If they
to develop a new game,
yeah. If they use their resources right, I think they'll be able to develop the next thing.
But they didn't develop it; they stole the idea. Well, so
they got to wait for the next thing to come in.
Wait for the great next game, and then make it free to play and put dances in it and hats.
I'll see, like, my younger cousins, like in October, I would ask them, like, "Hey, can you guys do a Fortnite dance for me?" And they would like love to do it. And then, like, at Christmas time, I was asking, like, hey, can you guys do the dance for me? And they were like, eh.
You know, I was thinking the other day that the Battle Royale, you remember the old high, you know, fast-paced deathmatch games? In a lot of ways, looking at, like, COD Blops and some of those games, a lot of the elements of COD Blops that people really like are the same elements that were in the old fast-paced deathmatch games. The only difference is that there's no respawning. So, the next viral game might be something that's like the old school Unreal Tournament deathmatch games, where as soon as you die, you know, you respawn and then you die and you respawn again, but the first to 20 kills wins, because that's even more intense.
That's how Overwatch deathmatch works.
But see, you're missing the key.
There's no loot boxes.
The addiction is the looting.
Yeah.
Because that's what DayZ was. It was so amazing about that.
That's what you liked in PUBG. Like, you would die in the circle to loot one more.
You of all people, yeah, should remember that, because you can't stand off the loot. That, again, I'll say, I watched the Bird Box movie. It should have been like an hour of blind looting, because that was the most interesting part about it. Like, how do you survive when you can't see? But instead, it was a bunch of bullshit backstories and drama.
How sad it was.
I'm not saying that you take the looting out of the deathmatch. I'm just saying that as soon as you die, you just immediately respawn.
Maybe you get that person's cosmetics.
But then that was the other thing about DayZ, is the loot is the carrot, and the stick is the fear of losing it all.
Well, yeah, you can still get back to your body or not.
I'm telling you, you're terrible at this.
It's not going to work.
You're not going to be the Epic Games game designer. I'm sorry.
I wonder what the next big fad will be.
Well, it probably won't be pixel light phones.
No, that seems unlikely.
Well, there's new pixel light phones launching in the spring. Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL Lite on Verizon.
Boilersnake had a real bad experience with pixel phones. And he's moved to Samsung. He says he's never buying Pixel again.
Something about yellow screens and dead pixels.
Well, he got all of his nudes leaked.
Oh, yeah.
That was super embarrassing for him. Yeah. So, all right. We won't talk about that anymore then.
He was kind of hissing earlier. I don't know if that picked up on the mic, but I could hear it across the room.
Well, we talked about Elon Musk and his questionable year. And we look back on the year. But now we can't. You know, I'm not a Musk fan, as is often pointed out, but he did make some accomplishments. He sort of pulled the nose up on that company by the end there.
Company,
it's making money.
Apparently, now, you know, the accounting and stuff, a lot of people still question it, but he was able to silence a lot of those short sellers, make it profitable. He's launching rockets. You can't take that away from him. Some of his competitors, you can't
not
say
so
that
well.
About.
I don't know if Faraday Future was ever really a competitor.
Well, they claim to be. They chose another famous electrical guy to name themselves after.
Engadget has this article. Faraday Future had the worst year possible for an EV startup. And they definitely did. It's a mess. They built one prototype that caught on fire.
Yeah, and more than just the failures in their hardware, is they had an investor, a Chinese investor, come in who may be a little shady. And
actually a lot shady.
Maybe banned from doing business in China because he's bankrupt and not paying his investors back. And maybe using Faraday Future as a way to hide out in this country and escape those debts, maybe.
Funding secured.
This this article is a little hard to follow because it's so long. But, yeah, Faraday Futures has not...
Well, it's long because his list of crimes is long.
Well, yeah. They
put all their eggs in the Chinese investor basket.
Yeah, Yeah, they were supposed to get a bunch of money, and they did get some money. But I mean,
I don't think they had a choice.
Yeah,
they were on the chopping block.
Yeah.
So, and he seems to want to put it into liquidation to pay off some of the, it's sort of like a pyramid scheme for him.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if we liquidate this, I can pay off these debts and not go to jail for another couple of years.
He's selling Avon products.
Multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
Well, now, I've always questioned the sanity of anybody who watches the New York ball drop. Do you know?
It's one thing to watch it on your television. It's another to actually go there.
No, I'm talking about actually going there.
Yeah. That looks like that would be insanity. And that freaks me out just watching it.
You are not allowed to leave that area, you know. There's no peeing at the ball drop.
There's no, they don't have toilets, which seems like that would be
a
violation.
No, you're not allowed to leave. Actually, well, let's look at the headline real quick.
New York police to use drone for the first time at New Year's Eve party.
That's 2 days ago now?
But. Yeah, they deployed cameras, over 1,000 cameras, and also a drone or two. But the drones are tethered to buildings, so in case something goes really wrong, well, that's probably okay.
They won't run into the crowd and kill someone.
So I want to read this excerpt from the article here. Sharpshooters will take up positions on rooftops, and officers with long guns will stand guard at pedestrian checkpoints. Revelers will be screened before being admitted into security corrals for viewing the ball drop. Large bags and lawn chairs will be banned.
Wow.
Now that's freedom right there.
Why would that's you just want to go stand America. For like 6 hours straight? And not just a bunch of people, but a bunch of drunk people, like plastered.
I need a lawn chair.
Consuming alcohol and not being able to pee.
Oh, you know they're peeing.
Oh, they're peeing.
They're not peeing anywhere they're supposed to, but
they are
peeing.
They're just standing there peeing. And
like the people in Park Attack when they just
So that's how New York got its smell.
All those people
It's just there from every New Year's.
So you can choose to be in the middle when you're being just crushed by the crowd, but it's warm, but it's urine soaked. Or you can be on the edge, less urine, but freezing cold.
Oh, you won't be feeling the cold anyway because you have to get plastered to enjoy that, right?
I don't think you can legally take alcohol into the security corrals.
So you can buy it there?
No, there's nobody selling anything. You just stand there like a moron and watch the ball drop.
It sounds more and more terrible the more you describe it to me.
The new year represents hope that perhaps this coming year will not be as bad as the preceding year. But
in what way?
You can just have that hope at
you
home.
You have a house now.
In bed.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this story.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, so Samsung has started planning out their 2019 product line, and they're announcing it. And they have what they believe is a game changer when it comes to TV features. Some people would call it a game changer. Others might call it a massive security risk.
Hot Hardware has the article. It is Samsung's 2019 smart TVs can remotely access your PCs and smartphones. So they're doubling down on the whole smart TV thing. They're turning these into remote displays. They're putting enough horsepower in the TVs that you can use them as remote displays for laptops, phones, whatever. But they're licensing technology from VMware. And they're also using Samsung's Knox technology, which is on Samsung's Android phones, for security. But ultimately, this is going to be an Internet of Things disaster, probably.
Yeah, it's Internet of Things that has access to everything else that's not Internet of Things. So
what could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely nothing.
At least it's just on your local network. When you leave the house with your laptop, presumably the TV can't do anything anymore. But I think Samsung has already demonstrated that through updates and some of the other stuff that they do, the TV after you buy it, that they can't be trusted to update. Like, no one actually wants a smart TV. Like, Samsung would be better off to just make a module that you install into the TV, or like a Chromecast where you plug it into a port and then it gives you this functionality rather than build it in the TV.
Listen, in no time at all, Chinese hackers are going to have some malware that breaks out of that hypervisor and changes the firmware on your TV.
Yeah, and it's going to be mining Bitcoin and spying on you.
So why are my movies so slow? Well, did anybody in their family celebrations, did anybody get an Alexa?
Yeah.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No one in my family got one.
Did you see the new Alexa clock?
I scared my mom out of one last
year. It's like a hidden camera, except for yourself.
I think they deliberately used crappy cameras because the camera is not great. And I wonder if that's because it's like, well, look, it's not. And it's okay.
It's not high fidelity.
Yeah. No, that's just Lord Bezos wanting to make
ring
every bit of profit. These monkeys are going to buy these Alexas no matter what. Just put garbage in them. Well, so if you did buy an Alexa, Here is a pro tip. There is no app that goes along with Alexa. That doesn't exist.
This fake Amazon Alexa app climbs its way to Apple's App Store's charts. So people were like, I got an Alexa, what do I do?
Let me download the app to go with it.
And the app asks for your IP address, your name, and a whole bunch of other details. And it just steals it. That's all.
Serial number. So, yeah. Basically, just give me access to your Alexa and let me record
watch
who you are.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
But super popular. And a lot of people left some negative reviews on the Alexa setup app saying, this is difficult to use. I couldn't even find my serial numbers. Well, it's, you know, we're entering into the coldest part of the year. That frigid time where you would love to just slip into your hot tub.
I love hot tubs. Love them.
Maybe have a drink.
It's too cold to configure your hot tub. But what if I told you that you could have a smart hot tub that you could go on your phone with an app and have the hot tub waiting for you?
Oh, I can't imagine anything that could go wrong in that scenario.
Certainly not like this stock photo.
I could imagine not clicking the button
correctly. The BBC has this article. This hot tub hack reveals washed up security protection. So there are hot tubs that you can remotely turn on and remotely do stuff with, but there's no security.
Scroll down.
Here's what you want to look out for. If you see these characters in the background.
Like they're fully dressed, wearing hoodies and sunglasses, while you're wearing your Santa hat and having a discussion with your business partner in your hot tub, as one does.
Who are these guys? This is our home.
Do you think this is a stock photo, or do you think that they made this photo specifically for
this?
They may
have just whipped this up, because...
Yeah, this is probably shopped.
That's such a fantastic picture.
But these laptops look like some, like, you know, online BBC E-waste. Editor laptops, you know?
I can't wait until level one is popular enough that they shop in the level one sticker onto their laptop.
Well, someone will do that if you ask them in the forum.
Those hackers. But then no one will see it.
Well, no, I mean like inside the BBC, like the next time the BBC.
So it turns out the way these things worked is they just worked on IP address and proximity to the actual hot tub. They wanted to make it easy. So it's like, hey, don't worry about logging in or anything. Just while you're there, pick up your phone. We know where your hot tub is. We know where you're coming from. We'll just control it. Well, if you just drive around and listen and get that IP address, well, guess what? You can control the hot tub.
You can make it hotter or colder, or the jets on and off.
Turn the colors around. Some of them have RGB in them now.
It's probably possible to even mine Bitcoin.
With a hot tub.
Very slow. You would never win.
Yeah.
But you could spend the resources. So, yeah, they are going to redo that. So you will have to register. So if you have a smart hot tub, plan on setting up a password.
If you have a smart hot tub, you know, as everyone does. I guess some people probably do have smart hot tubs, but
I'm sure.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, well, the modern, I mean, how many different models of hot tub is there these days? I bet they all have it.
I don't know. The Airbnb I stayed at a few months ago had... like a really nice hot tub. I bet it was a smart one now that I think about it.
Did you jump in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Every night that I was there, I did.
Did you clean it first?
No.
Wow.
Listen, I don't care. Hot tub.
And you're the kind of person who watches those shows about waterborne
diseases.
The monsters inside me.
Yeah, but hot water and it's highly chlorinated. It's fine.
It's not boiling.
It's fine.
Well, you know what's not fine? Lenovo laptops.
Oh, no. Microsoft's Emergency really? Internet Explorer patch renders some Lenovo laptops unbootable. This is a security patch for Internet Explorer 11. Somehow, on some Lenovo laptops that have less than 8 gigs of RAM, they no longer boot. How did this happen? What unholy thing has Lenovo done to create this situation?
So the Microsoft...
Also, why is IE so bad?
Microsoft offered some like workarounds. When I was reading them, I fully expected it to be like, just buy more RAM. Download more RAM, dude.
Just download it.
And but their actual recommendation is to turn off UEFI.
Yeah.
Because apparently
and secure boot.
Yeah.
So. Which, if you're using encrypted, like BitLocker stuff, that'll be bad.
Well, you know what is also bad? Let's imagine that there's something very important, like student data, right? We always talk about you got to protect the kids. What if
Ryan cares deeply for children?
What if almost everything was lost from the school?
Schools can't be trusted to maintain their IT security. So, and ZDNet has the article where Hacker has stole 10 years worth of data from a San Diego school district. Officials say the hacker has made off with personal information of over 500,000 students and staff.
Whew.
The hacker was in there for the better part of a year.
They got a great
bullet list. There's a huge list of crap.
They got literally everything.
That's it right there.
And all the staff, they're going to have to get new bank accounts because the account numbers and routing numbers are all gone.
Like literally everything.
So you can sort of, of course you can click and find this for yourself. But yeah, that's the big one. Down here.
It's going to be so easy to do an international wire transfer and steal their money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally everything. I don't think there's anything they don't know.
You could just use these account and routing number and, of course, all their personal information, including date of birth or whatever you would need.
Name, address.
Validate one of those transactions. So, yeah. Also, parents and guardians' information. If you want to abduct one of these kids, I mean, you know, pro criminal tip, but don't do it. This information would give you everything you need to go and pick up the kid and abduct them.
Pro criminal tip, don't do it.
Well, little Timmy's granny, Matilda, is is out today. So she sent me to pick Timmy up.
You got to take him in for his insulin shot. It's important.
His flu shot.
Well, it's been, we talk about the winners and losers of 2018, and you're going to have to say also in the loser category toward the top, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's lost a lot of value.
And
tanked.
A little more bad news right at the end of the year.
Users report losing Bitcoin in clever hack of Electrum wallets. So a hacker has stolen over $750,000 worth of Bitcoin over the past 7 days. And that's because they were able to create a situation where the Electrum thing would pop up. This pop-up saying you need to update the Electrum wallet software. And this is by having some bad servers online or something. But that GitHub link in the pop-up is controlled by the attacker. And so if you install the attacker's software, it would steal your Bitcoin.
Sad.
Yeah. Even with two-factor, it would still...
it would initiate the two-factor.
Yeah.
And actually, they pointed out one of the things that some users tipped them off was like, hey... The Electrum wallet never used to ask for two-factor when I logged in, only when I made transactions. And the secret was, it was making a transaction. So they figured it out. And it hasn't been patched. They took the markup. They took away the ability for the markup to render and the error message. So now you see a big garble of HTML, which makes it seem suspicious instead of that nice error message you saw. But they haven't patched it out.
Nice.
So. And on the same note, the fishers, you know, they've
had a field day this holiday season, been, as they always do.
Doing a lot of fishing, and Netflix was their other target.
The FTC has warned that Netflix users about email phishing scams. So this is an email that looks like it's from Netflix. It's not. It wants your account so that it can be stolen.
It says there's a problem with your billing stuff, right? And you need to resolve that immediately because you got to watch Bird Box, right? Everybody's watching that. It's not good.
Right? It's like, I think you watched that. Like, did you watch it like 4 times this weekend? I don't
know. I just watched it once.
It was so bad.
I'm not watching it again. Well, that's just the hot Netflix meme right now, right?
Yeah, I've seen
isn't
a lot
that
of
like
talking.
I saw a couple of news stories about
that. And Black Mirror. Those two things.
I haven't seen that one, so I can't reference it. Well, listen, maybe you want to watch some other good stuff on Netflix, you know? I'm trying to think what
the
else
Queen.
Is on there.
That's their other, or The Queen, The Crown, the other Netflix show.
But whatever you do, don't get fished. And if you're in the EU and you're sitting around, so let's say...
What are they going to do with all this new GDPR money?
Well, you know, you're sitting around, you're in the EU, you're watching Level 1 News, you got nothing going for you. You got no job,
I mean,
you got
watching
no prospects,
this.
But you love technology. So what could you do to restart your life? To get that jump start that you need.
To buy your tiny house.
You could look for bugs.
Find one bug and get paid big bucks. It's a little bit like a lottery, I think, but it's probably okay. In January, the EU starts running bug bounties on free and open source software. And so you can earn a year's salary just by finding one serious bug.
So we can take a look at the list. Here we go.
FileZilla, Apache Kafka, names. Notepad++. Notepad++ is an interesting one because I wouldn't think that... That would be a thing, but okay.
PuTTY is a big one.
Yeah.
90 grand. And that's in euro, not dollars. Yeah. So That's big money.
VLC, 7-Zip, Drupal, the GNU C library, PHP Symfony, mm-hmm. Tomcat. Tomcat should be an easy one. I bet Tomcat is claimed before January's over.
Not bad. So, you know, now your exploit, I think that's maximum dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The exploit that you find has to be pretty bad to get that amount, but you'll get something for whatever security bug that you find.
The views bug is probably only worth about $5.
But if they would fix it, I'd give them $5.
Yeah, yeah. It's a performance issue. It's not a security issue.
Well, that's it for this episode. We have robots, just a taste of design, just a smidgen, which I bet Krista hasn't even read yet.
So
she's going to have to think about it during the next break that we have here. And everybody's favorite nonsense.
We'll see you Friday.
It's 2019. Whole new year, whole new you.
We're still the same.
It's not really, but okay. Bye.